If you had kids, what would you name them? What's your number one front runner kid name?
Just spilled that.
Spilled that.
Spilled C4. It's like C4. It's like literal C4.
Oh, the WWE. Shit.
Oh, I just spilled this plastic explosive.
I just spilled my Chokeslam energy drink.
What is this Four Loko S energy drink you're drinking? What is this?
So I ran out of my Zoa and I was looking for another.
Did you get that in AutoZone or something?
Every fucking week, new movies get released. How does anyone ever see these? There are too many movies.
Welcome to There Are Too Many Movies, family.
Hello.
This week on There Are Too Many Movies, we're going to talk about Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Oi.
Oi.
Cunt.
And before we talk about that, we're going to talk about what we've been watching. Do you know what I mean?
Is that your Jason Statham?
It's just, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a guy in a Guy Ritchie movie, you know?
Yeah.
Just guy.
Guy.
Oi. 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 Do you know what I mean?
You fucking what?
We're going to get the drugs. We're going to get the guns.
You have to have
fuck off, you know what I mean?
You have to have a high-pitched guy that goes, oi, what are you fucking doing? And then another guy's like, oi, what are you fucking doing?
I'm a fucking pugilist.
Yeah. Well, he's the muscle. And so we're going to go in. He's going to bash their fucking brains. We get the drugs, get the guns, and fuck off.
And what's funny is the muscle guy always has kind of like a smaller, like, voice, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like, oi, what are you doing, Harry?
Yeah. They call him Tiny.
Yeah.
This is like a quirky thing.
So before we talk about all that... I'm Chris Collins.
Dude, fuck yeah.
I'm Josh, the Josh Rodriguez Film School University. Kill Josh.
Dude, that was sick. I'm Alex, sent from my iPhone, Wilson.
You Jew motherfucker, you!
And that will play a big part later when we get to the watch list, baby.
Yeah. You're drinking your WrestleMania C4.
Hell all right, yeah, dude.
It's a WWE C4. It's,
all right, dude.
Chris, he just fucking coins WrestleMania for all things wrestling. It's one event per year. It's like watching football. I'm like, you watching the Super Bowl today, dude?
Oh, is that the same?
No, I'm not watching the biggest thing of all time today, dude. I'm just watching a casual game in September.
It's every week. It's WrestleMania. On Monday.
WrestleMania
is
every week. Fuck you guys. You know shit.
It is to me because
I'm here getting jacked up on fucking 300 megagrams of CC.
Megagrams.
Megagrams.
300 megagrams of powder power punch.
Yeah. I don't have kids, but if I did, every time they were playing like a game where they're shooting a Nazi in the head, I'd be like, is that Mario?
Is that Mario?
Are you winning, son?
I'm drinking a fucking nuclear power bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Smart.
It's when Four Loko dissolved, they made C4.
Yeah.
All the people from Four Loko went on were like, let's just take the alcohol out and keep going.
Just C4 Loko.
Sorry, I just need to have a fucking stimulant to talk to you fuckers for an hour.
Oh, fuck you. Yeah,
yeah,
I get it.
That's what I mean.
Watch list, who wants to do it this week? Oh, wait. $5 a month on Patreon.
Please.
If you want to support your local... I'm losing the accent. Local on the internet podcast.
Support your local on the internet podcast and fucking support There Are Too Many Movies.
You fucking cunt.
You fucking twit.
You get bonus episodes. You get access to the Discord. You get... drugs, guns, lock, stock, and barrels. I don't fucking know.
You get Cockney rhyming slang, which you need a fuck. You like, how do they even keep up with that?
What?
They just
get
assume
weekly movies, monthly movies.
Yeah,
all for five quid a month,
5 pence.
Yeah, I like how there's like 10 different names for like the pound, and I always thought they were different currencies.
Yeah, it's saying like quid. Quid, pounds, euros,
yeah,
fucking dollary dudes.
Slapperinos.
Yeah.
Dude, I would love if...
Smackers.
What's his name was in Lockstock?
Which guy?
The guy... Oh,
Michael Caine?
Yeah, Michael Caine.
Yeah, Michael Caine.
Michael
Lockstock and Two Smoky Barrels.
Yeah.
No, he was in Burma.
The size of a tangerine.
That's always how I get into my Michael Caine.
Yeah. I have that too, where you have like trigger sentences that like get
the
you
Manchurian
into...
sentence. Yeah.
The Manchurian sentence.
You just say tangerine. He's like, the size of a tangerine. You just go right
into it.
He was playing with the ruby.
Yeah.
The size of a tangerine.
He's the guy in Lockstock with all the dildos on his desk.
Yeah.
Some men just want to watch the world burn.
Some men just want to watch the cock come.
We're fucking idiots. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, go to Patreon, support your local on the internet pod. You get all the fun stuff. A bonus episode a week. A bonus episode a month also. Like a movie one, and then the other one's just three guys shitting around, which is called supplements.
Yeah.
That's weekly. So you get two episodes a week instead of just one. That's $5 a month on Patreon.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
It's a good pitch.
Thanks, man.
You got the info. All
right. There's a good pitch.
Oi.
Oi. Bloody good pitch, then.
Bloody good
Very
pitch.
Good. Let's go down to the soccer pitch and murder a child because we're hooligans.
Oi, mate. Meet me down at the Tesco.
Yeah. This whole episode is going to be subtitled. It's just like Snatch, where it's just like, like just gibberish.
Snatch was borderline impossible to decipher the first time I watched it.
It was literally...
Just Brad Pitt's character, though.
Yeah, you're right.
It's like worse than A Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
Like without a
You
thesaurus.
Need a literal no, dictionary. Yeah.
Clockwork Orange is way worse, dude.
Way worse.
Way more worse.
It was way worse.
Because they're fucking using phrases that don't exist.
Yeah.
Give her the old fucking, what's it called? The Philly Wogger.
Yeah. Give her the old in-out.
Yeah.
It was
I guess
rape.
That makes sense.
That was rape.
The in-out is rape?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Bit of the old ultra-violence. Yeah.
Dude, please, if... If TikTokers aren't using that, and you know, because they have to replace. Oh,
yeah. It's like the unalive for rape.
For sex.
Yeah.
They just start saying it for
the
sex.
I was in-outed.
You went to In-N-Out?
No.
No, I was in-outed at an In-N-Out.
We're not joking about that.
Fuck it. Yes, we are. What else we got?
What are they going to do?
Watch list. Who wants to kick it off?
I'll fucking do it.
No, I will.
Okay.
No, you're good.
Okay. Well, I know we watched the same thing.
Yeah. Well, I was halfway through episode 6 when I saw you post about this, so I was like, let's absolutely go,
fucking go, dude, because I watched in one fucking day,
same,
a single day, an entire series of television called Baby Reindeer. It's on Netflix.
I like how someone was like, so was it good?
You're like,
I watched it in a day.
Yeah. It sucks. Episode 7.
10 episodes?
Seven. Yeah.
Yeah. So dude, good.
So it is by Richard Gadd, who's a comedian from Scotland.
From the UK.
Another UK joint. And it's about a comedian who is being stalked by someone he was nice to. He's a bartender. And he offered a woman that he felt sorry for a cup of tea, and she became fucking obsessed, dude. Do you want to...
Ruined his life. I just want to say, before we get into it, I was skeptical after the first 2 episodes.
Yeah.
I was like, man, parts of this are like kind of cringe and sort of amateurish and feels kind of like sort of Netflix, like fucking trite average shit they put out. And then it just, like, as the show goes on, it skyrockets in tone and like execution. It's
one of the darkest, most well-developed character arcs in
ever seen in
film or television. The depths that they go to with certain characters, it's pretty fucking intense. And all of this is a true story.
And the main character is played by Richard Gadd, the guy who that all happened to.
Oh,
yeah.
That's wild. He's reliving this entire ordeal that he went through. And more than one, dude. It's not just a stalker. It's a lot
it's a
more
bunch
than...
of shit.
Okay,
dude.
Yeah. I'll check this out.
It's fucking dark as shit, but honestly, the actress that plays... What's her name? Rachel? I don't fucking know.
Rachel!
The actress that plays the stalker seriously deserves fucking awards,
dude,
man.
Every single bit of acting in the series is incredible
and has no right to be that good.
It's a Netflix television show, dude.
Are you fucking kidding me? But it's taking the world by storm.
Okay,
dude,
check it out.
It blew my dick off. I was so surprised at
what
how
made
much
you,
I liked it.
What made you get into it?
Christina was like, you want to give the show a shot? And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. We sat down, we watched episode 1, and we were like, I don't know. And then we watched episode 2, and we were like, yeah, it's like twisty and turny. You'll see where it goes. And then we were so fucking sucked by episode 3 that it's like, dude, you got to check it out.
Okay. Banger, huh?
Yeah.
I think without all of the kind of publicity that it's getting, or just the buzz that it has, I don't think that I would have made it past the first like 10 minutes, honestly. But for whatever reason, dude, I just kept going. And I'm not one of those people where it's like, oh yeah, this fucking sucks, I'm out.
I know.
I'm one of those guys. But like, genuinely, I thought the first episode was good. I didn't have that issue with it.
I didn't think it was terrible, but I was like, I don't know about this. This might be shit.
I get it.
You know what I mean?
There was some doubt there too, but I think that's just because there's so much content everywhere all the time.
True.
That it's like, can this this thing that I've never heard of from a guy that I've never heard of be good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like things have to be like really fucking good from multiple different angles. An actor has to be in it. Yeah. A director has to be involved. A writer that I'm like.
Cinematography.
Yeah.
The music.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
everything
yeah.
has to hit or just like this yeah. isn't worth my time.
Dude, it's I legit compare everything to like True Detective season one for some fucking reason in my mind. And I'm like, this isn't the best thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You're like, fuck this. Next.
Yeah.
Dude, it has some of the most well executed cringe I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, great.
No, but not but Nathan Fielder.
Not Nathan Fielder cringe. Not Meet the Parents cringe, but like
real life.
Oh my
shit.
God, no fucking way. Okay. Cringe. Like
yeah. real life shit. Just dark. It's yeah. really fucking dark.
Also, I had to push past his comedy for the first little bit.
Yeah.
It's I don't know if it's like some shit lost in translation because it's like British comedy or if it's meant to be even worse than it is so that it's conveyed that he's not the greatest or something.
You're on episode 7?
I finished it.
Oh, you finished the whole thing? But I don't want to say anything. I think it kind of redeems it.
100%.
Okay. Yeah. All right. But it's fucking great. Chris, I think you'd like it.
I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Two endorsements.
Dude.
So
dude.
I haven't seen any buzz on it, though. You didn't mention buzz. I haven't seen anything.
Dude, it is blown the fuck up. I had several people at work come up to me like, have you seen this yet? Have you seen
yes.
this yet?
They're always good barometers for good things, though.
But anytime something's good, they ask me about it. Like, dude, what did you think of this? And I'm just like, Jesus, I actually haven't even heard of this yet. Same person came up to me and asked me about Society of the Snow before I'd watched it.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't know.
Just Netflix people.
Yeah. Basically. This one person in particular, she just knows good shit. I don't know. Nice. She's really good. But anyways... check it the fuck out, dude.
I will.
It's blowing up in the UK, obviously, because it's a UK show.
Mm-hmm.
They're on like every major news channel right now.
Dude, BBC. BBC produces amazing television.
Dude, they legit do.
Yeah.
So maybe it was a BBC show that just got bought for us, for US. Nick,
possibly. I think it's a Netflix original.
The BBC iconography or anything.
I didn't see any BBCs throughout.
Yeah, no, not at all. No Big Black Cocks.
Well, spoiler.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, shit, my bad.
I was hoping he would...
She walks in, she's like, hello.
That actress, man.
Dude, she's incredible. Dude, there are some creepy moments.
I'm gonna check it out.
It's good. Very realistic stalking, apparently.
I'd give it an easy 4-3, to be honest with you.
And also, shouts to the creator, because this actually happened to him. This whole thing happened. This woman existed, but... For the sake of her identity, protecting her identity, the character in the show resembles, and the name and all of that is completely changed out of respect for the woman that was stalking him.
That's respectful to do to somebody that was not very respectful of you.
Well, the whole thing is she has a mental illness, obviously. Like it's very clear, even from the beginning of the show, that she's mentally...
She's aww, like, guys, ill. It's society's fault.
Well...
It's very respectful it. And...
Okay.
It's way more emotionally intelligent and deeper than I would have ever expected after finishing episode one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Check it the fuck out. Pretty good. Dude. Next on my watch list, I watched, 2004, Along Came Polly, dude.
Oh!
A Ben Stiller joint starring Ben Stiller and Jennifer Aniston and the fucking goat of all goats, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I sharted.
Dude.
I just sharted. I don't know what that means.
I tried to fart and a little shit came out. I just sharted.
That's when shart got into pop culture, dude.
Yeah, he created... The script of Along Came Polly created the
icon,
word
heroin addicted icon, sharding.
dude, he fucking is so funny in that movie.
I always remember the one thing I always remember about this movie is the part in the trailer where his sweaty stomach gets rubbed up against Ben Stiller.
Mm. It's not him.
It isn't?
No, it's like another guy they're playing basketball.
Okay, all right. It's been years since I've seen this.
He is known for he just has so many quotes in this movie that are just gold. And what's funny to me is when I watched this movie, I didn't know that he wasn't a comedian, basically.
Right.
Because those roles now go to comedians.
It's a Jim Gaffigan role for sure, yeah.
Right.
So it's like, it's not often anymore that we see serious actors take on comedic roles. It's like, maybe the last time before that even was like Jeff Daniels in Dumb and Dumber, who was a serious theater actor that was fucking amazing in a movie.
Yeah.
And then now you have Philip Seymour Hoffman, one of the great actors of our time, and he pulls out a fucking comedian. Like, I can't imagine how hard that is for a trained actor.
I feel like it's like the best thing whenever that happens. Like, that's the Zucker Brothers entire formula, for one thing.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, Mel Brooks with Gene Wilder and Cleavon Little and shit. To me, that's like the best way to do it. but yeah. I don't know.
I mean, you wouldn't think of him as a comedic actor ever. Like, if you say, like, oh, like when he passes, like, you wouldn't say he was a comedic actor, but like,
fuck no.
Suddenly you get him in this, and it's like, you get to see, it's like when Ryan Gosling almost turned comedy recently, like with The Nice Guys and some other stuff, where it's like, damn, he's fucking funny
as shit, yeah.
And then, yeah, but Philip Seymour Hoffman didn't get that, besides maybe this one time throughout his career, I think.
No, and I think that all changed, because if you think about it, after that is the Judd Apatow renaissance. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the
Rogan, the Rudd,
the gross out comedy.
And literally, yeah, it's all about writers becoming actors, right? It's about comedians acting.
Yeah, funny people.
And no longer is it about like just really good actors having funny roles.
True.
Every comedy we've had since then is a fucking comedian or a stand-up artist, or, you know.
It's like the same group of people in all of them, yeah.
So, dude, it's fucking incredible to me how good Philip Seymour Hoffman is in that movie. And it's a good movie. It's a fun, you know, romantic comedy or whatever. But he just absolutely shines.
Yeah. The best man is in the house. And he slips and eats shit.
The ultimate pratfall.
Yeah, and it's just it's a wide shot. I'll cut it in here.
The best man is in the house.
It's so fucking, it's just, the best man is in the house, and his leg just goes sideways.
Yeah.
He goes, and it like makes this squeak. He just eats shit. He's like, duh!
It was like a slip and slide, dude.
Just immediately horizontal, a frame perfect horizontal flip.
There's that, and then whenever he's acting in like the boardroom, he's like taking over for Ben Stiller, and he has to like pretend cough, or he's like just trying to buy time for himself. He's like, shit like that, or
I
like
forgot about.
Let me see here.
Playing basketball, dude. He's fucking killed it, dude.
The fucking Let It Rain shit.
Let it rain.
Let it rain.
Let it rain. He missed every shot.
Every single shot he missed.
Rain dance. Dunk.
Rain dance.
Just misses everything.
So fucking good. Anyway, shouts to him. Shouts to that movie. Good movie. Rewatch 2005's in Munich. From Steven Spielberg, dude.
Banger.
Pew, pew.
I'd watched it, I think, for the first time within the last year or so.
Fuck yeah.
And then Carly kind of brought it up. She's like, have you seen this before? I was like, fuck, we own this, bitch.
Just assume we own it.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, yeah, at this point. We've got movies. Yeah. We've got all the movies.
We've got all of them.
Yeah.
And I think I asked her to put the DVD in the thing. She's like, I don't know how to do that. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ.
You're
dude.
Not a boomer, Carly.
You know how to put a DVD in a fucking
DVD player?
She's
like, do I shoot it?
Is that why there's a hole in it?
Oh, this one's used.
Munich, dude. Wow.
Yeah.
Fucking great movie. Steven Spielberg at the top of his game, dude.
Yeah.
A Jew superhero movie, dude.
A superhero movie.
A superhero movie, if you will.
Yeah, dude. It's a banger.
Eric Bana, dude.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Isn't the final like few minutes of that a stain on that movie, though?
No, it's great.
You like the climax of him like coming while thinking about people getting massacred at the plane?
Yeah.
Fucking weird.
Yeah.
It's an emotional fucking ravaging experience where he's like letting go of all these things that he finally finished his job, but what was at what cost? And like it's like a hydra, you cut off one head and another grows in its place, and it, you know, it's
yes,
it's a whole thing
he's realizing,
mixed with the emotions of finally being with his wife again, being able to lay in bed with her for the first time.
Getting
and
that nut, dude.
Yeah, that fucking psychopath,
that fucking primal nut where he pulls it out like he's pulling out a fucking weed, comes from the fucking ground and out of his dick.
Yeah,
that secret espionage nut, dude.
Yeah,
shouts to him, man. I fucking love that movie, and
it's great.
I don't mind the last scene.
I mind it a lot. It's so, I can't believe it made it in the movie, where it's like, yeah, I filmed this guy throwing his head back covered in sweat and water, like it's so, and I'll cut it in. It's so fucking...
Here's a man coming.
Yeah, he's just... And he's thinking... And then it cuts to like...
And he's been too long since I've seen it.
Just giga nut. Just absolutely nut with a hard G, dude.
Yeah.
To be fair, those I've heard are the biggest nuts of your life when it's just post-murder. You know what I mean?
Yes, totally. Relatable.
I don't know.
But imagine a fucking 4-year murder journey.
Exactly,
you know
dude.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Also, that assassination scene, you know the one.
All of them.
All of them, but fucking, you know the one. Yep.
Yeah.
Fucking brutal.
Goddamn, dude. Have you seen it?
Not in like 15 years.
Dude.
That's my favorite one. No music. You got to see it, dude. It's very good.
I'll check it out. again.
Like we said, it's a Jew Behar movie. Be a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
You Jew motherfucker, you!
He watches just the cum scene. He's like, that was so bad.
I hated that.
I hated that. 2011's Cabin in the Woods. Directed by Drew Goddard. Drew Goddard.
Probably.
Arguably.
To be fair, I don't know.
It's likely.
Directed by Drew Goddard. And written by Joss Whedon. It's just a really good fucking horror movie that is very unexpected. I don't want to say anything else if you haven't watched it before. Just go in expecting a Cabin in the Woods movie, honestly. You know what I mean? Like, just yeah.
That is what it is.
That's what it is. It's fucking hard as shit. Bradley Whitford.
Dude.
The best, dude.
Holy shit, man.
The fucking bets that they get going in that movie.
The mermaid, dude.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was brilliant writing.
Oh, come on!
I like that you're like, don't spoil anything. The mermaid in the Cabin in the Woods movie. Yeah. Dude, you cannot predict that movie. Yeah.
No.
It's phenomenal. My favorite scene is when Bradley Whitford's dancing, like when they start partying in the cabin and they start like drinking and stuff, and then it just cuts back to the control room and he's just like yeah. So fucking good.
I loved it whenever he's like talking, he's like, oh well, you know, with it, there's a lot to bear whenever, you know, he's just like basically like having a serious conversation. He's like, tequila is my lady, dude. Yeah. He's like, maybe we really shouldn't be doing this. Tequila is my lady.
Just think of all the pain and the tequila is my lady.
Yeah,
that's fucking dude,
hilarious.
So good. Richard Jenkins, dude, my boy.
Fuck yeah.
Also one of my favorite title drops ever.
Yes.
Oh yes.
Dude, whenever I watched this for the first time, I thought I was in the wrong movie.
Oh
yeah,
really?
Yeah.
I think we watched it together, right?
I don't
and we
remember.
Both kind of looked at each other like, what the fuck is this movie? And then the title card dropped. We're like, oh, shit, this is going to be fucking nuts, dude.
Yeah. It's
great. Chris Hemsworth is in it.
Yeah. The guy that looks just like Shaggy and basically is Shaggy.
Yeah, that guy. He's also a film director now.
Is he?
Yeah, he directed a really great movie called Mass. Check that out. Anyways, go watch Cabin in the Woods. It's really fucking great.
You know, they actually sold a collapsible bong for Cabin in the Woods merch.
They did.
That's awesome.
That's
what made me watch.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that
TikTok video or something. And then, I was like, oh, shit, I need to rewatch that here pretty soon. And then kind of slipped it in and.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was a good one. It's hard to talk about it without spoiling it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
so crazy.
It's great. Go check it out.
And if you haven't seen it, like, what kind of podcast you listen to, man?
Yeah,
you feel like everyone that likes our podcast probably has seen that movie.
Totally.
Probably. But we have to assume there's some people.
Of course.
It's also a rare example of a Joss Whedon product that I like, you know what I mean?
What are you talking about, man?
I like Cabin in the Woods. I like some parts of Marvel's Runaways. And I like Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Marvel's Runaways.
It's a comic series he picked up.
Oh, okay. Well, The Avengers, the first one was great.
That's fun.
And he did the. Oh, whatever.
I'm gonna pretend I hate all Marvel things just because we fucking hate.
Avengers is fun.
I love the first
Guardians
Avengers.
Is great.
But that's not Joss Whedon.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking.
Oh, we're just talking about Marvel shit. Yeah, I got you. I got you.
Then he got canceled, and then he did Suicide Squad or whatever, right?
Did he?
Yeah, and now he's
tried to pick up the.
Now he's in charge of the DC universe.
Oh, okay. I thought you're still on Joss Whedon. No,
we are.
No, you're talking about James Gunn.
What did he pick up, and then it was like.
Justice League.
Justice League.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I was
thinking. Justice League.
Yeah, that was dog
shit. Fucking piece of fucking absolute horse shit.
That was dog shit.
Can we ask you some questions? It's for our podcast.
Well, in that case.
It's like, let's reshoot half of this 3-hour movie
mm-hmm.
and turn it into a 2-hour movie.
Yeah, it's a mess.
Looking back on it, I don't think I would like either cuts now. I think I was truly affected by the Zack Snyder hype, and I don't think I could tolerate it. To me, that would be like rewatching Argyle.
Think the most offensive thing ever is having the fucking digitally replaced mustache on
That's
Superman.
Such shit,
insane.
Dude.
A man on you used to say that hope was like your car keys.
All because the financier for Warner Brothers wanted his bonus before. He left Warner Brothers and made the film come out. Like, they had to get the film out in time for him to leave Warner Brothers and get his bonus.
Okay.
So he rushed the release of Justice League, which included Henry Cavill's stupid fucking mustache.
I thought that was a contractual.
As opposed to waiting for Henry Cavill to be done shooting Mission Impossible.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just studios being like, fuck you.
Fuck his mouth up.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was, you know, they said, hey, we got to have Henry come back for reshoots. And then the other studio going, he needs to keep the mustache. And then them going, come on, man, we'll put a mustache back on him. It's much easier. If he comes back to you, we'll do the VFX for your movie. It's harder to remove
a mustache.
If I was
Henry Cavill, I would have shaved my fucking mustache.
I think was just doing what he was told.
He's like, I'll grow it back in fucking, you know, however long.
I'm the fucking star. Suck my dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to do in the movie without me, buddy? Mission Impossible?
I thought it was a contract thing. Like,
It was.
They were just being like, no, fuck your movie.
It was. But like I said, Warner Brothers was rushing the release of Justice League.
Okay.
As opposed to just waiting the 2 or 3 months it would have taken for him to wrap up filming Mission Impossible.
You know, those classic loved movies that are rushed to fucking shit.
I know. Yeah. great idea. Anyways, yeah. And then I finally wrapped it up with Snatch from 2000, Guy Ritchie joint.
Snatch.
After watching Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, I was like, I need to watch Snatch immediately. So I just did a double feature that night. And holy fucking shit, do I love this movie.
Hell yeah.
It's just one of those fucking, like... guys will see this and just think, hell yeah.
Yeah, cool totally.
Shit. It's cool guy shit, dude.
It's just fucking just machismo the movie, dude.
Yeah.
It's just, I have a dick the movie.
Yeah. I got a dick and I use it the movie.
Yeah, dude.
I fucked before once or twice the movie.
Watch Snatch. We'll get into all the Guy Ritchie-ness, but fucking A, man. Great movie.
Yeah.
That's it for me.
Nice.
I'll go next. I watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem.
The animated joint.
Okay.
Yeah, the new one from 2023.
Produced by Seth Rogen.
Yeah, he's in it too. It's fine. But it's on Prime. And I don't know, I was just in the mood for like something casual. And that looked cool.
Yeah.
And I could have watched this on mute, to be honest.
Damn.
Like, it wasn't bad. It's just the visuals carried the whole thing for me.
Oh, yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's a kid's movie. True. And I didn't expect
a sophisticated fucking...
No, it's a...
Not like the old films where they're dancing with vanilla ice.
Yeah, and they commit turtle seppuku.
Please forgive me.
But the old films with the practical suits are the shit, dude.
Oh, dude, of course. Fuck yeah.
Like, it's amazing.
Where's Splinter? He's been up on the roof ever since he saw your report.
Doing what?
Coming.
I liked that the cast of... Ninja Turtles in this were actual teenagers.
Yeah.
I liked that aspect of the movie. Granted, I didn't watch it.
It was a little jaunty when I heard them. I was like, wow, they really do sound like super young, but I guess they are Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They're 15, so.
Turtle years.
Yeah. You know. But it was you know, fun. It was really just for the visuals. It was a very gorgeous movie. I mean, the art style carries it hard.
Yeah.
The whole time I was...
It's very Into the Spider-Verse, right?
Is it?
Yeah, it's inspired by it. Yeah, where it's like it took its own little twist on it, but it definitely has that Spider-Verse like handcrafted feel.
That's
almost
cool.
Like a comic booky feel, but it's more like map. Everything's map painted and scribbled.
Is it Sony?
I don't know.
All right,
sorry.
You're good.
Yeah, but like if something exploded, it was basically just like a bunch of scribbles.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was very cool to watch. Like even like screeching and lights were even like looked like hand drawn crayon.
Makes me think of like Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. Was it more like that?
I didn't see it, but I know what you're talking about. Like I saw a trailer and it had that handcrafted painting feel.
Okay,
it's somewhere in between.
Okay, cool.
Either
way, good animation.
Very cool animation. Check it out if you like that kind of stuff. It's on Prime. But the whole time I was just basically wondering why they all have swords if they just never use them.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They have deadly weapons and they never stab anybody.
They only do it in the Ninja Turtles comic, The Last Ronin or something like that?
He commits seppuku in The Last Ronin?
No, it's fucking brutal. They fuck people up.
Yeah, well, you know, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are based on Daredevil.
Are they?
Yeah. That's so cool. The artist and writer of... Ninja Turtles, the first graphic novel, they were like, let's just do Daredevil but make them turtles that can see. You know what I mean?
Imagine pitching that.
Well, dude, the
Daredevil but turtle edition.
But they're turtles.
The organized crime the crime organization that they're battling the entire time in Ninja Turtles is the Foot.
Mm.
In Daredevil it's the Hand.
Typical Nickelodeon property.
You know what I mean? It's like they just try to make a gory Daredevil but made it like fun and I don't know,
family friendly,
and the same art style too. Like they just ripped off Daredevil as a joke.
In comic books?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
I never read any of the comics. I know The Last Ronin is like so widely loved and regarded.
Distributed by Paramount and Nickelodeon, FYI. Music by Atticus Ross and Trent Reznor.
Oh, shit.
Didn't feel that.
Gotta get that bag.
Didn't feel that one bit.
No?
Didn't matter at all that they did it.
No, I didn't think at any point that this felt like a Trent Reznor soundtrack, but...
It's really? Giving Gone Girl.
Oh, whoa. Yeah.
But it's turtles. It's just them eating pizza. And it's I'm like, damn, this is fucking dark, cool shit.
This. Oh, fuck.
And like, y'all have the large pepperoni, and they have the most delicious cheese you've ever seen.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fine. It's whatever, but...
Okay. The casual watch.
It's yeah. It's just so weird that they have swords and they just still punch. They literally never use.
They
them.
All have different weapons. They got like the fucking the electro daggers and then yeah.
But then I was like, you know, it is a family thing. I wasn't expecting murder in it, but it is an interesting choice to have ninja weapons and then just be like, oh, I'm just gonna punch the guy.
Yeah,
with the sword in my hand, he sword punches him. Yeah, that's it for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and then I got one other thing. What was it? The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Affair.
Warfare.
Sure. Dude, I didn't see what you saw in this at all.
No?
Nah, dude.
Really?
It's just mid. Straight down the middle mid for me.
I think this has happened to us a few times now. I think when we go to like those screenings, when it's like filled with people, filled to the brim, and people are reacting to it and having a good time. Like I said, even for my Need for Speed Aaron Paul screening, I was like, this is going to be the biggest movie of all time.
I know what you mean.
When like, I watched it with a full audience. So I think maybe that has something to do with how fun I thought the movie was.
It's like having a laugh track, but for just the quality of the movie
and
not a comedy. Like if you have a theater that's like, let's reacting, it gets you into it. It's like a more of a show. I understand.
This was filled to the brim, dude. The screening that I was at. And it was fun. It was a blast.
Okay.
But you didn't like it.
Yeah,
at all?
I mean, I saw it at Alamo, and the guy next to me fell asleep, and he ordered a fucking cheeseburger and passed out and didn't eat it.
You should have eaten it.
And I was.
He would have woke up like, oh yeah, I ate that.
That was really good.
He has a dream about eating a cheeseburger. But he wakes up and logs it one star on Letterboxd. He's just like, I just am so tired of the gentleman pocket square shit that Guy Ritchie does, and that was so much more of that, and it was so much more like
you like the ground level Guy Ritchie.
I don't know. I think I liked Guy Ritchie when I was 13, and I kind of grew out of it. It's what it feels like, sure. Where it's like this is cool guy stuff.
I feel like he's grown out of his own style though,
but I still like Sherlock
that I
Holmes
miss.
Sure,
maybe, but
yeah, Sherlock Holmes is fun and fast paced and
and
so what's that's funny, I didn't like Sherlock Holmes. I mean, I thought it was fine, but I wasn't like fuck yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it.
Like Man from U.N.C.L.E. fucked my shit, dude.
That movie's fucking perfect. I love that movie.
That's a great movie too.
Yeah,
I like that one, but there's something about like the
Alicia Vikander has a lot to do with why I like that movie.
It's a great movie. Great actress.
They're also based on already existing properties. Maybe his vibe is just like his mind is not a thing I'm a fan of.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. It's like the it's almost the Tarantino effect where they're just dancing around the conversation, and Snatch does this, Lockstock does this, and the Ministry movie does this, where it's just like we're just so classy and we're going to talk about it and we're going to do it properly with our pompous attitude and our pocket squares, and we're going to get it all done. Right, chap? And then he's right-o, chap. And then he's like, hey, did you plant the bombs? He's like, well, the fuse is a bit long, but it should go off any minute. He's like, all right, we'll wait for it then. And then it blows up, and then he's like, well done. He's like, thank you, sir. And it's like very, there's never an ounce of,
do you just hate British people?
That could be it.
I just hate those fuckers.
It's like, it's an era of pompous that is like, they were never in danger ever, despite being in grave danger always.
Yeah, yeah.
Like even when like a soldier would come up behind them and catch them, they were just like they'd be like, "Freeze! What the fuck are you doing here?" And then an arrow would go through him, and then they'd be like, "Well done, good shot." And he's like, "Yeah." And I'm just
there's no gravity,
just no concern whatsoever. They have like this air of this lightness to them that I hate, where it's like they're doing everything. I don't know.
They're British.
Yeah.
I genuinely loved how carefree all of the violence was in that movie. Like, it's just like they were just going through brick wall after brick wall after brick wall without any sort of like any stakes.
Yeah.
Even though there was the biggest stakes of them all. You know what I mean? It's like they're trying to kill Nazis, basically.
Yeah.
But like, I just love that every time anybody would come close to him, it's like, douche, douche, douche. I don't know. I like the style of it. I thought it was just an interesting take on it. It was, to me, it was a fucking three-head World War II movie.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean?
Like, it was fun at the very least.
It was like, it was a blast, dude. I loved it.
It was like Diet and Glorious Bastards, kind of.
100%, which is what I said.
Yeah, it is, but I just feel like they could have literally been doing all this violence with a cup of tea and a pinky out, and it would have been totally unironic to him.
So you're just over the Guy Ritchie thing?
Yeah, man. I'm over like the gentlemanly gentleman's gentleman shit. Like, it's literally the name of like the last three things he's done.
That is true, yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm like, he's like, I'm a better class of criminal, and you're the petty thug, and I'm the world class criminal. And I'm like, it's just so corny to me.
You get it. You're fucking British and you got a fucking foreskin. Shut the fuck up.
I got a pocket. I got my foreskin and I got my pocket square.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. My pocket square is my foreskin.
Just a penis hanging out of a three-piece suit. Just the head of a penis. You put the foreskin in there and it makes it yours.
That's how you get them.
Anyways, I didn't enjoy Ministry very much. Even though it was very well acted, Henry Cavill was great.
I'll watch anything with Henry Cavill.
Literally curly mustache the movie.
Yeah.
He's just
also Thad Castle from fucking Blue Mountain State.
He was good too.
I fucking loved him in that movie. I don't know.
He was tiny.
He was charming. Yeah.
He was the tiny of this movie.
Yeah, he was the tiny glasses guy.
Do you need like the lore dump of previous movies to understand this?
Absolutely not. Okay. No, it's three head fun time.
It's like Doom 2.
It's a lesser Man from U.N.C.L.E. You know what I mean? Right. Like the stakes are that high.
Okay.
But it's not there's no gentleman cinematic universe.
Okay.
It's not connected to the gentleman.
It just has that name.
It just is Mr. Gentleman.
it's not the OECU, dude.
Oi.
Yeah. Oi. Yeah. So it's straight down the middle, 2.5. Had some fun parts, but not didn't do it for me.
Nothing for you. Okay. Mm-mm. Fair enough.
That's it for me.
All right. I watched Baby Reindeer. Fucking incredible. Loved it. First Omen. Caught this one.
Let's go.
In the theater.
Ooh.
Nice. I fucking loved it.
Let's fucking go, dude.
This boy's going to the theater.
A fucking blasty blast of a time.
It's
dude.
A fucking vibe, right?
Yeah.
Did it have any right to be that good?
No.
Thank you.
It's better than every other Omen movie.
Yeah.
Probably because it doesn't have a stupid fucking kid in it.
Yeah, that's true. That ruins everything.
Yeah.
Did you see Immaculate or not?
No.
Oh, damn. You don't have it to
compare
to.
They're so similar, but...
Yeah,
honestly, like... I watched First Omen and I was like, I don't need to see Immaculate. I've seen Sydney Sweeney's tits.
Honestly, the First Omen's better than Immaculate, in my opinion. Better executed.
But I like Immaculate better.
Yeah, but you're married to a blonde woman. that would be maybe the reason.
Let's look at your porn history.
It was the ending of Immaculate for me that was just like everything. But, very good. But, fair enough.
I loved it. There were moments like the tension and the atmosphere achieved in it was fucking immaculate. the individual like holy shit are they really doing that on screen moments,
I loved
that. The possession reference when during a particular moment was,
yes, oh fuck, I forgot to bring that up, that dude, shit was so good.
I loved that.
Oh
yeah, basically the subway scene.
Yeah
but she ate it in this one too, dude. Like
she fucking,
no she didn't eat it.
She moited.
She ate the scene.
Ate, oh, dude, she fucking okay. ate, bruh.
She ate the devil, dude. She literally ate, dude.
She ate, bro.
She didn't eat it.
I thought
it.
You were getting it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. A great, great time.
Yeah.
Loved
fucking
it.
So good.
Check it out.
Cinematography.
Incredible.
Bill Nighy.
Incredible.
The actress that kind of looks like Mia Khalifa a little bit, even though I don't know who that is.
Oh, Maria Caballero.
Oh yes,
I did Google her after the movie, dude. That girl was so distractingly beautiful that like she came on screen and I was like, oh my god. And then Christina next to me was like, oh my god. I was like, oh yeah, dude.
Christina's like, my dick is hard right
dude,
now,
dude. Rock hard. I jacked her off. Yeah, it was great.
Just kidding, Christina.
Cinema 4-3. Watch First Omen. Great time. Conan Must Go.
Yes.
On Max, dude, I was smiling the entire run of the series. I just need more Conan in general.
Conan is back, baby, doing a travel show.
Love it. Fucking, that's always been my favorite shit from him.
Dude, even whenever he used to do that on late night, when he used to do that on the Tonight Show and Conan on TBS, that was just the best part.
Yes.
Him going to countries and just fucking being himself around foreign people. He's the best ever.
It's unfair how he can take... Like, he literally, like he said in the Hot Ones episode, like, they went to, like, a fucking ice field in Finland, and it was literally, he was standing in a white void, basically, and they're like, and action. He's like, are you fucking kidding me? And he can still make it funny.
Yeah.
Like, he's that fucking good.
Yeah.
It's insane.
He's literally a student of comedy, dude.
It's insane. He's so fucking good.
It's crazy how much he's unlearned about comedy than we'll ever fucking achieve. That dude is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a natural. It's wild how on the money Lorne Michaels was for going, maybe this kid. And then he's, in my opinion, the greatest to ever do it.
Oh, 100%.
Like, yeah.
He's just appealed to all of my sense of humor.
Totally.
And I think just maybe our generation, honestly. But like, fucking Jay Leno, really? Jay Leno, Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, like all of these fucking guys.
Yeah. And he changed the game. Like, he did like real bits. Like, yeah. He wasn't just like laughing at the guest or whatever. Like, he came in and was doing like crazy stuff for late night.
Yeah,
dude.
He was a Simpsons writer, right?
He was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And SNL.
He's insane.
Great.
What a resume.
Yeah.
Safe to say he's pretty funny.
It's safe to say I like him a lot. Did you have a favorite episode?
I know, I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, you haven't?
Mm-mm.
Ooh, have you watched it?
Mm-mm.
Bruh, it's a great time. You're going to love it.
Yeah, I'll watch it with Carly.
I will.
Sure.
The only negative is that there's not enough episodes, which makes sense because like, it's four episodes and every episode he's going to a different corner of the world. So it's like,
yeah.
You can't really ask, you know, you can't be like, can you also go to fucking Paraguay or whatever?
But I think at least with the buzz that he's getting, or just like the exposure that he's gotten, just even from the Hot One show, I feel like that's going to be immediate season two. You know what I mean?
I really hope so.
They're going to fucking fast track
it. It took forever to actually release. I remember I saw a trailer for this like 2 years ago.
Dude, they announced after he was leaving TBS, they announced a Conan show on HBO Max like the next week.
Oh, yeah.
And then also SiriusXM bought his podcast for like $1 billion or something.
I've never listened to his podcast, but I feel like I should.
It's great. Him and Sona Movsesyan, his assistant.
She's so good.
Them together is the podcast. It's my favorite part of it. And then he'll interview, you know, really great people. And
yeah.
I love the concept. It's like, I just need a friend. Will you talk to me? Yeah. It's great,
dude. The intro is narrated by Werner Herzog, and it's so dude, it's so fucking good.
Shouts to that.
Lastly, The Age of Innocence by Marty Scorsese.
Let's fucking absolutely go. Michelle Pfeiffer,
Winona Ryder, Daniel Day-Lewis.
I just bust out of my shirt.
Yeah, first time watch for me. Never read the novel, but Christina read it like 5 times, so she was like obsessively, like autistically watching every character during the movie. And dude, she was like, the intention behind this moment. I was like, can you just...
I can see that.
She's like,
acting.
Dude, I've watched Lord of the Rings with you. Shut the fuck up. I'm going to tell you about this fucking book.
No, it's very different vibes than I'm used to seeing from Scorsese's. Masterfully achieved, as always.
As always.
Daniel Day-Lewis is unbelievably fucking good in this movie.
Carries, dude.
He legit carries this movie. The production design and set design are obviously fucking unreal.
Poofy dresses, yeah, of course. It's always gonna bang.
Yeah. Oh, it's a Victorian thing.
I think you would not like this movie.
Yeah. No, Chris would hate
it's,
it.
It's
serious and it's about people that care about each other, so Chris would hate it.
Yeah, I hate people caring about each other.
It's if
I only watch wacky.
Sorry, it's not black and green and it doesn't have a fucking existential crisis at the end of it where you're like,
wait, what?
What is the Age of Innocence, really?
Oh.
It was us the whole time.
We were the age. It was the time.
The call's coming from inside the house.
Chris, I'm just joking.
I know.
I know.
It's a comedy podcast.
Yeah.
What does he play in that?
Daniel Day-Lewis?
Yeah.
He plays a guy named Newland Archer, who is betrothed to Winona Ryder's character, a very young woman who is...
I already regret asking.
Yeah. If you fell asleep during Barry Lyndon, you're going to fucking hit the Magnolia snooze in this one. Even if you don't love the content of a classic, classics are classics for a reason, and they have stuff you should like. It's not as eloquent as I said it before, but watch Age of Innocence if you like Scorsese, if you like poofy dress movies.
Yeah, it's really fucking good. It's no Phantom Thread.
No.
It's no Avatar 2, The Way of Water.
I did watch Phantom Thread immediately after Age of Innocence.
Yeah.
It's
a vibe.
It's like a next... Yeah, you have to.
It's a vibe, for sure, that if you get into, you just do one after the other. Age of Innocence is a really good movie, though.
It's great.
I'm glad I own it on the Criterion
Indeed,
collection.
Same. I got it on the last half-off sale.
Let's fucking go, BB.
That's all I got.
Nice. Mm. Shall we get into Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels?
Oi, cunt.
Yeah.
Oi, you got Lock, you got the Stock, and you got the Two Smoking Barrels.
And the Smoking Barrels are uncircumcised, and so the aim is slightly off.
Yeah. They're not short-off shotguns.
Yeah.
The bullets just dribble out of them.
Yeah.
All
right. Well, see, these shotguns actually have more sensitivity.
Yeah. They lubricate themselves, actually.
Yeah.
And you're like, I wish mine was...
You're like, yeah, but you have to clean them a lot more. That's actually a myth. That's actually, you don't have to do that.
You don't have to clean it at all.
You just let it all build up in there.
Yeah, and then the woman cleans it. When,
oh, God.
Ugh. All right.
Anyways.
That's fucking disgusting.
I don't do that. I don't have a foreskin.
Me either.
Prove it. All right, let's all...
Anyways, Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels. Thoughts? Guy Ritchie.
Yeah, it's just, like I said before, it's just like, guys will see this and just be like, hell yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
This is just sepia the movie, dude.
Pretty much. Yeah. I thought this was Snatch for a long time.
Really?
I thought I had seen this movie. Turns out I haven't.
I have not seen a big portion of this movie. I had seen bits and pieces, basically. Mm-hmm. And then finally watched all for the first time for this episode.
It definitely has a amateur film feel to it.
Yeah.
This is his feature debut. It was the first thing he ever did.
I know, but doesn't it feel like a college short film? Everything's
aspects,
lit by a painter's light.
Here's the thing.
You know what I mean? Everything's just like...
Yeah, it feels like even in the present day when you see like a BBC TV show and you're like, what was this? This is filmed on like the Survivor camera.
Yeah.
Where it doesn't, it looks so, it's like buy a better camera, UK.
It's filmed on a camcorder.
Yeah. I don't know why. I really love the vibe of like late 90s, early 2000s British stuff. I don't know why that.
British cinema, dude.
It's a cool, good time. Like,
it's just very Gonzo-esque,
yeah,
right?
Did you ever play The Getaway on PS2? Because that was like the video game version of this, of all of this, everything about it.
Mm,
gotcha.
It's just a good time. It was back when GTA had like actual competitors.
This gave me big Pusher vibe.
Yeah, totally.
Is that the Mads Mikkelsen?
Even though that was like far...
Is Mads Mikkelsen in that?
Mads Mikkelsen is in that.
Yeah, it's the early Refn.
Okay.
Yeah, the Refn's first joint, right? Maybe.
Something like that.
Or very early on. But yes, it has that like just guerrilla filmmaking sort of just like...
Crime
grungy theory. Fucking punk British punk cinema. I don't know, mm-hmm. something about it, and it's a fucking vibe, dude. It really is. Imagine, you know, watching this for the first time in the 90s, being like, you know, after watching the Tarantinos and watching films of that ilk, even like Get Shorty at the time, and then seeing this British thing there where it's like all these people are brand fucking new. This is Jason Statham's first thing, period.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever Guy Ritchie found him, he was literally selling purses. What are you laughing at?
I was just thinking how like guerrilla filmmaking was really big in 1998. That's when Mighty Joe Young came out.
Waited a while for that one, dude.
Well, you didn't have any air to get in there.
Yeah, that's true.
Sorry.
I'll pause more.
Hey, let him cook, dude.
Thank
let
you.
Him cook. Yeah.
You see, you get a delicious meal every once in a while.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's a great know. Genre. King Kong, Mighty Joe Young,
exactly.
Tarzan, arguably.
Yeah.
Jane and Me, or whatever.
What were you saying?
You talking about British punk cinema?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Something like that.
I think it was worth it.
Thank you. I was trying so hard not to.
You know what's even funnier is picturing a bunch of gorillas making a film. Just like, was that action? And just like fucking...
Sorry, dude, I love scared the shit out of her. I love the video of that gorilla like sliding through its enclosure, like
slide to the right.
It's that one gaffer that's like,
yeah. He's got the hat on,
yeah.
Cargo shorts, on
cargo shorts.
The Arnold Schwarzenegger of gorillas. Yeah, I mean, this is the first fucking. It's like a super cool fucking crime thriller guy shit.
Yeah, yeah. It's cool guy shit.
Just fucking, yeah. It's basically...
Directed by my dick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Written and directed by my cock and balls.
Yeah.
Written by my cock, directed by my balls. Guy Ritchie. It's just Guy. You just go by Guy.
Guy.
Dude, yeah, Guy.
Stella Ritchie.
Yeah.
It's fucking fellas time.
Dude, it's... You should, like, instead of, like, Michael Mann, it should just be Guy Man.
Guy Man. It literally, it, like, describes the type of movies he makes. Guy Ritchie, rich guy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Rich guy, pompous shit.
Is that, like, a fucking, like, a nom de guerre, like, a fake name or something?
No, that's his real name.
Jesus Christ. What were his parents thinking?
It might be Guy, honestly, if he's French.
Guy Ritchie.
Guy Gabriel K.
Yeah. He's Lock Snock.
Lock Snock and Snocking Hogs, dude. It's
fucking Lock Snails and yeah. French bread cigarettes.
Yeah. In full frontal snogging.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, man. This is his first fucking swing, but it came out right 4 years after Pulp Fiction, which it Crazy. Feels so much like Pulp Fiction.
It does.
Even though he denies it, too. He's like, oh, yeah. Because people were comparing it at the time. He's like, yeah, I mean, you know.
He's like, what's that movie?
I've never heard of it as a film director in the
90s. I can respect that. And I wouldn't say this is a successor to Pulp Fiction by any means.
No.
But also, it's like, dude, obviously there's some influence here.
For sure.
Convergent storylines, a bunch of a crime thing, clusterfuck.
The only movie he said was a direct homage to another film was Mean Streets. Hmm. And that was the poker scene whenever he loses the bet and loses all the money. And then he gets up and the camera's like fucking all attached to him, basically.
Yeah, okay.
Sure.
That was a fucking mean. He's like, well, we don't know how we didn't know how we were going to do it, but we knew we wanted to shoot a Mean Streets
it's
shot.
It's insane that Mean Streets looks better than this movie. You know what I mean?
No, it isn't because yeah, that was a major studio production.
Right.
This is fucking. I think they filmed this for like $100, dude. Or
$100 quid.
Sorry, a billion quid. Yeah. I don't fucking know, but you know, this didn't have the budget anywhere near Mean Streets.
Yeah, but the Pulp Fiction influence was so apparent, but like it's like the
British Pulp Fiction, right?
Yeah, yeah. Or it's like some pulp of
some Pulp Fiction. Yeah.
Some Pulp Fiction, you know, where it's like some pulp, you know, like some Pulp Fiction, you know, it's like it's good, but it does feel like diet Pulp Fiction, even though it's kind of unfair to say that. It's a little reductive, but it does feel this like,
which is why I think he didn't want to compare it to Pulp Fiction. I think he just thought that was reductive as well.
They are
because it was influenced
sure.
by more than that.
Yeah,
sure.
And there were a lot of movies at the time that were kind of converging crime epics, or not epics, but like crime stories that are noir and fucking
yeah. This did have like.
You also have Scorsese at the time, who's doing every mob movie known to man.
Who?
Who's that? Scorsese, my bad.
Thank you.
But you get so many twists in this, too, which is like when I was like, oh, well, it won't get worse than this. It just more people killed each other. And you're like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Like, it's just such a clusterfuck. And there's just like some guys like going through like Mr. Magoo, like, what's happening?
Yeah, yeah.
Like causing,
they were my favorite.
Like causing disasters amongst the crime syndicate. And they're just like some guys that like.
They fucked it all up for everyone.
Yeah. Did like one thing.
Another comparison, I don't see this comparison very often, is like a Coen Brothers movie too. Mixed.
I definitely get that.
With Quentin Tarantino. It's like dumb people in really complex situations.
Yeah,
which we've talked about before, but that mixed with like the crime epicness of a Quentin Tarantino, you know what I mean? It's all kind of because it's really funny, like it's a black comedy, right?
Yeah,
or dark comedy, whatever. I don't know.
Black comedy's the term.
Yeah,
I mean, okay, so Jason Statham, first acting gig, Guy Ritchie found him literally selling purses on the street, like he is in the beginning of the film.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
and then also in the script, Vinnie Jones. Vinnie Jones was a famous football player.
A footballer. You're a big fan of football.
Soccer. This is.
Oh, you're a fan of soccer?
No, I'm not a fan of soccer. Fuck that.
Yeah, you're a big Liverpool fan.
Yeah.
You're a mank.
Yeah. You like to go to pubs and fight people over Liverpool.
You're Josh the hooligan.
No, dude.
You get a few pints in you.
It's a dude.
That's your new heel turn.
The dropkick Murphys. It's my fucking song. Anyways, so in the script, Guy Ritchie said that Big Chris, the character that Vinnie Jones plays, looks like footballer Vinnie Jones. And
he literally is that man.
And he literally, he was able to contact Vinnie Jones and ask him to be on the movie.
That's pretty cool.
He had the vision of him playing him from the get-go, even though he wasn't an actor at all.
That's crazy. You know what's weird is, like, I saw him. And I can't remember what else I've seen him in, but I immediately recognize his face. What else has he...
Vinnie Jones?
Yeah.
He's been in fucking every Guy Ritchie movie, basically.
Okay,
he was in Snatch. He's in Rock and Rolla, isn't he?
That'll probably do it.
Which one's Vinnie Jones?
The guy with the kid.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought he was an actor.
No, dude.
He's a footballer.
He was a soccer player.
Wow, he was so good.
Yeah, this is his first movie, period. First acting, period.
He's insanely good
apparently,
in everything.
Apparently also like an incredibly good footballer. He played for 20 years, starting at the age of like 19 professionally.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And now he's like an actual coach, a football coach. Mm. But shouts to him. He was fucking amazing in this.
Yeah.
And like I said, Guy Ritchie wrote his name in the script. It's like, this guy looks like Vinnie Jones.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Isn't it also the bald guy who's like the main henchman of the Hatchet, Harry Hatchet? Harry the Hatchet? Whatever that guy. That Hatchet guy.
Barry the Baptist?
Maybe. That guy?
He's the bald guy.
Okay. He's a legit, like, one of the greatest unlicensed, unprofessional bare knuckle boxers in the history of the UK.
Oh shit!
Like he's a legend in pugilism. Like, oh, it's wow, brutal.
That's fucking sick.
He can fuck people up IRL.
Yeah.
Well, not anymore. He's fucking
dead.
He's dead
as shit. But yeah,
he's dead as
fuck. He died a month before the movie came out.
No.
Oh man.
It's in memory of that dude,
the governor.
The governor.
That sucks.
Back to Vinnie Jones. The first time I ever saw him was in Eurotrip.
Hmm.
Oh, that might be it.
He was literally a soccer hooligan. Yes. He was a Manchester United guy, and he opens the fucking beer bottles with his eyes.
I don't remember that at all.
Really?
No.
He goes, ah, goosh.
And we'll cut to a clip.
That shit fucking killed me. He's like, sing for us. You know?
I don't remember this at all.
Sing.
That's true, because that's where I got the phrase, if you're not a Mank, you're a Wank.
And yeah.
Okay, yep. That's been like ingrained in my mind.
I don't remember anything from that movie besides the fact that it was basically porn to me as a middle schooler.
Oh, totally.
Tits at all?
Oh, they let us rent that, and they thought it was a PG-13 movie, and then we snuck to the basement and all got horny under the covers, had no idea what to do.
Yeah. We were just like, this is cool. There's a scene with a brother and a sister making out in the movie.
Oh, yeah. That was gross.
Weird.
Remember that?
And then the guy gets butt fucked by a German dominatrix. I remember that. It was a wild movie for a middle schooler to be.
Granted, it wasn't made for us.
Yeah, it was, dude.
It kind of was, though.
Yeah, kind
of. They know they're going to rent this.
I think my mom bought that because they were going to Europe and she saw the movie was called Euro Trip and she's like, oh, I better watch this.
Is there a spider on me?
There was.
Really?
How big was it?
Very, very tiny, but I'm not going to tolerate that.
Anyways, Vinnie Jones is one of the best parts of this movie, I thought, because he played it. He's the only professional in this movie, in my opinion. I mean, like, they were all just kind of fucking around. Every person is just like
dumb and
is just dumb as shit. And he was just a professional that got the job done pretty much every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, that's my employer and I'll do my job.
Yeah.
I like the son too, like his dynamic with his son.
That was so, he'd be like, oh, I cunt, fuck you. And he's like, hey, shut the fuck up, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Sweetheart, how many times have I told you, don't say and stuff. Just say, Dad, there are horses here.
Or even the beginning with the tanning bed. You know what I mean? I thought that was funny, too. Yeah. I mean, not to even get into all the details of this movie. I don't think that's why we wanted to review it. It was mainly just because it's like, it's Guy Ritchie. You know what I mean?
It's a fun time.
This is the first Guy Ritchie joint. This is kind of what made him who he was. Before this, he was only directing music videos.
Yeah. He did this after Lockstock, I'm pretty sure, but he did a BMW short film starring Madonna.
Yeah, that was after they like got married, I think.
Yeah.
Oh shit, really?
Starring Clive Irwin.
That was the first like celebrity mega couple that I remember when I was a kid. Like they were in the tabloids and shit.
I don't remember that at all.
So she saw this movie and
I'm British now.
she saw this movie, reached out to his people and was like, "Oh yeah, we need to get the soundtrack out on my record label," basically. So that's how they met.
Weird.
A lot of needle drop in this movie too.
Yeah, she really liked this movie because of the soundtrack.
Hmm. It feels like they put all their money into needle drop based on how this movie looks. Because music is expensive as fuck.
It probably was after the fact though.
You think so?
I think it was after the fact.
They had stock and then they got money after, probably.
And then they get lock and then the smoking barrels.
Exactly.
You got the lock, the stock, and the smoking barrels. You fucking cool.
The stock was originally stock music. That's why it was.
Oh.
Yeah.
This movie gave us Crank, and I'm happy about that.
Yes.
Fuck yeah, dude. The birth of a action hero.
Arguably a better movie.
Crank?
Yeah.
I wouldn't argue that.
You wouldn't?
I wouldn't argue that. No, I wouldn't argue.
Well, I own Crank and I don't own this.
That's true. That's true.
But I don't really like... I kind of just am exhausted by Guy Ritchie's shtick.
Crank or Crank 2 High Voltage?
Crank.
That's the real question.
Or Crank 3. Crank in my yank.
Crank yankers.
Who's up cranking their yank right now?
Who up great yanking they crank?
It just tastes simply. I got a fucking comb. I got a fucking comb.
Wait, which is the crank that has the kaiju Jason Statham? Because that's my favorite one.
I don't remember. Kaiju Jason Statham? I don't even remember that.
You don't remember that where he like takes drugs and then it's like a cutscene to him as a fucking kaiju? It's like a guy wearing a big Jason Statham head, like tearing down a building.
Oh, yeah. Which one? I don't remember which one that was, but it was like a cartoon big head mode of him.
Yeah.
It was something like it was just this psychotic drug fueled world.
Chris will cut it in here.
Don't do it if you don't want to. Me just in the future, just like, oh, fuck it.
Just Googling big Jason Statham.
Pause, go to YouTube, 10 minute scavenger hunt, cut it in, download it.
It's a great thing.
It is a funny scene. I'll cut it in.
Work.
Do it.
Yeah, Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels. Great fucking movie. I really liked it, especially watching it again after so many years.
Mm-hmm. They're like, I
don't care for the sepia filter, though. That was fucking gnarly.
I thought that was just like the film processing they did on it.
Same.
I don't think that was a choice. I thought that was just a low budget thing.
It's intentional?
It was intentional. All right. They wanted a sepia tone on the whole fucking thing.
So I got a plan. We're going to go in there. We're going to sepia the whole film. Then we're going to get our money and we'll get the fuck out.
It's going to be like a skate video. Have you seen those on YouTube?
Yeah, you like Spike Jones?
I will say Snatch is a far better movie.
Yeah. It's been way too long since I've seen it, but
Snatch is fucking incredible.
Yeah, this is like he got his foot in the door, and then all the studios were like, "You want to fuck with Brad Pitt?"
Oh yeah. Another quick story about Lock, Stock. Whenever he's trying to sell it to American distributors, there was a screening that a friend of his, who was a friend of Tom Cruise, invited him to go to the screening that the U.S. distributors were at. U.S. distributors were not paying attention. They were like, oh, fuck this stupid movie. We don't give a shit. Tom Cruise walks in, sits down, and everyone's like, oh, shit. I guess we'll watch it. And then after the movie, Tom Cruise stood up and was like, this is one of the best movies I've seen in years. You'd be fools not to buy this movie. And then walk the fuck out.
Hell yeah.
Dude,
for
all the shitty things that Tom Cruise is known for, he is a fucking proponent of film.
He is Hollywood.
Dude, it's crazy. Like, as a person, I don't really care for him. But
really?
He's a couple things.
Scientologist and basically
just a couple things.
Just mentally and emotionally harassing Nicole Kidman for years.
You can't do anything anymore. But his, like the work ethic of him as a person is like unfathomable.
It's literally unreal. He's not a human being when it comes to like work ethic and.
Yeah.
He's on that different wave.
He's on
that Mark Wahlberg wave.
Yeah.
Rise and stop 9/11.
Yeah. Wakes up at 4 a.m., eats popcorn.
Yeah. Jumps out of a plane.
Takes his dirt bike off of a ramp, off of a mountain.
Yeah.
Then he parachutes into a theater.
Speed runs Super Mario 64.
Yeah. Breaks a world record. 20-year-old world record. He goes to the danger zone.
Yeah. Have you seen him do that? He was this character from Pineapple Express. Fucking Tropic Thunder.
Mm.
And he performed at the Grammys.
Nice.
Like a full dance routine.
Fuck yeah.
He did the whole fucking thing. He's awesome. Like, dude is a fucking showman.
Yeah. He's pure Hollywood. Pure Hollywood. Like, he has enough money in the world forever, but he's a proponent of cinema and like almost a little too old fashioned, but in a good way sometimes.
Yeah.
Where it's like,
he's just a crowd pleaser, right?
Yeah.
He just makes great popcorn movies, and now he wants to work kind of exclusively on, after, I guess, Mission Impossible. I don't fucking know. But he definitely wants to start bringing in more, like, auteur films, apparently.
He's like, I want to work with the Safdie brothers.
Dude, that would be nuts.
That would be sick.
I'd fucking watch it.
Imagine Good Time, but with Karate Chop running, dude.
Dude. He's hanging on to the helicopter that's fucking filming this aerial foot.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm down.
Yeah.
But Lockstock.
Lockstock is good.
I really don't have much to say because the story is relatively convoluted while still being like ground level like gang shit.
It's just fun, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was confusing at times, but then when it all kind of turns head, you're like, oh, okay. I see.
It's literally about two smoking barrels.
Yeah. I fucking knew that they were going to be expensive. It was pretty obvious to me, but I didn't see him, Chris, coming back and being like, here's the money. I'm getting the fuck out.
No, not at all.
And then there's no money, and it's just an ad or a gun magazine that says those guns are worth a lot.
And they're like, oh shit.
And then, oh, you got to cut before you reveal if you get it or not.
Yeah.
It's so good. That was great. I don't want to like.
For a fucking student film, basically, it's amazing.
Yeah. For 1998, too, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It seems almost like a cliche just because it's been done so much now, but.
Yeah.
Filmed on 16, by the way.
That makes sense.
looks not great. But
it does look like that.
Yeah.
It looks like shit.
I like some grain.
I love the slow-mo scene at the beginning, though, that fucking, like, how they ramped it up. What?
It was just very Trainspotting. A lot of student films just own with like early, a lot of early work just starts with like running.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Where it's just like, oh, fuck.
Well, you have to learn, you have to incorporate every character camera technique you've ever learned into one.
Yeah.
To be like, I'm making a film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They see Run Lola Run and they're like, oh, shit, they have run twice. You gotta run.
You gotta run, run.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's the, well, you're probably wondering how I got here moment.
Yeah.
Kind of thing where it's still...
I thought it was effective. I liked it.
It's very
it
cool. You wouldn't download a car vibes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's 90s for real. Cool guy vibe.
Yeah.
90s cool shit.
All right, boys.
Is that you it wouldn't for... steal a bag and run down the street, as Jason said.
From the copies.
Yeah.
Is that it for Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels?
I think so.
I see it, bruv.
Oi.
I see it, bruv.
I see it, bruv.
Now, is it cinema? With Marty Scorsese, we have to determine whether or not Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels is, in fact, cinema. That's how we rate movies on this podcast. If you've never listened to podcasts before, that's how we fucking do it. Boys, lightning round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Fucking cinema.
Yes.
But now we have to determine whether or not, is it 4-3? We all liked it. It's all cinema. But now it's the next step. Is it going into the Criterion Collective collection? Boys? I'm going to go first. I'm going to say absolutely fuck yeah. I love this movie and I understand its importance to cinema as a whole.
This is really... Oh, shit. Oh, fucking shit.
You're in the 4-3 chamber. Don't fuck this up.
I'd say... No.
Damn, farting in the 4-3 chamber.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, it didn't do much for me either.
Yeah, it's a good time. It's an amazing debut. It's really fast-paced and influential, obviously, and all that. But, like, I love Snatch more.
Snatch is fucking easily 4-3.
Yeah.
This would have pushed my shit in if I was 12.
Oh, yeah.
Weird sentence.
Dude, if I
was 12.
That's
on the poster, dude. If I was 12, this would push my shit in.
They're like, it's sort of a diss, but we'll take it.
And they're like, this is the best review we've ever gotten for this film. Yeah, it's one of those, like, if it was earlier in cinema and I was younger, this would have been my favorite movie.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Because Pulp Fiction was one of my favorite movies. I was like, this is cool and weird and crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like violent and drugs and bad words.
This feels like an introductory to film.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah.
A very convergent storyline. Holy fucking shit.
It all came together. Yeah. It's all crazy.
Yeah.
It's a clusterfuck that comes together.
It was funny as shit, too.
It is very funny.
It is funny.
Yeah. I liked, what's his name? The big dude that, like, dropped the fucking cup on the table.
Oh, my God. Oh, Nick the Greek. Totally forgot about him.
He's so funny.
Dude, yeah. He reminded me, honestly, of Will Sasso.
Yeah. He's really fucking funny. Yeah.
And then undercover brother in there. Like, that dude. whatever his name was. Nick or... It wasn't Nick.
No, they called him a midget, but he was, like, for sure, like, 5'8" at least.
Yeah, I don't know. Was it?
Yeah.
Whatever.
That guy.
And there's, I totally forgot to mention that other scene where he's like, I got a business idea.
My God, yeah. We name it fucking cock bumpters or whatever the fuck. Yeah.
No, he just drops the F slur three
times.
Yeah, he's like, we'll make dildos for, and then just like goes off, and they're like, that's a fucking terror. He's like, whatever.
I guess. Still a good idea. We should still do it.
I mean, I don't have the time right now, but it's, I mean, you know, maybe down the line.
If we're not dead in 6 weeks, we should probably try it.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, good time.
Good shit.
Well, should we do, budget?
I was gonna say DMTs.
Oh yeah, DMTs. Dumb movie title.
I'll go for Sepia Squad.
Sepia Squad.
Okay.
I got Cool Guy Shit and Oi Bruv the Movie.
Oi Bruv the Movie.
I've got some Pulp Fiction and I had another one I forgot it though. It's like pompous something. It was
pompous circumstances.
Doesn't matter. I don't remember. It was a pun. I don't remember it, though. I didn't write it down. I thought of it mid-show and didn't write it down. So, some Pulp Fiction is my only one.
Excellent.
Fair enough. All right.
Well done.
Hey,
congrats to us. We did it.
Let's do... Should we do budget?
Wait, did the fucking...
How many
did
euros?
Did that go?
Nope.
Oh, great.
Weird.
How many pounds of euros?
How many fucking quid?
I saw it, but I didn't read it. You know what I'm saying? It's like I saw this movie.
You crossed your eyes.
Okay.
I glossed over it.
All right.
Didn't look at the number.
Okay.
No fucking clue. 1.45 million. No.
I assume it was like, well, $3 million to make.
You fucker.
I wouldn't even say million, but I would say
really.
I'd say one.
I'll go two.
It's his first feature.
Wow.
$2.
One, two, three. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
All right, Alexa. How much did the movie Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels cost to make?
Well, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels cost an estimated $1,196,000 to make.
W.
Nice.
Easy to.
I was going to guess three.
I guess
so.
Three.
Even wronger. Yeah.
Kind of the cool guy. I know how much cool guy
shit
costs.
Oh, shit.
I've got pocket squares.
Actor game, Jason Statham.
Last game.
Oh, fuck.
Jeremy. Transporter.
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Crank.
The Beekeeper.
The Meg.
Hobbs and Shaw, Fast and Furious story.
The classic.
It's a good movie.
The standalone classic.
The standalone classic from the Fast and Furious universe.
Yeah.
Jason Statham.
Jason fucking Statham.
Jason Statham. Apparently he says like everything on set is gay. According to people that worked
that's
with him.
So funny.
Yeah, they're like, the Mr. Macho comes in and Mr. Action Star comes in. He's like, that's fucking gay.
Dude, so there was an interview that asked him like, oh, since they're casting the new Force Awakens, would you ever want to be in the Star Wars universe? He's like, I don't like that fairy shit. He was very dismissive.
I'd like to do The Beekeeper too.
He's like, I like doing real men movies.
Real man shit, you fucking nonce.
I like to do Diet James Bond films.
Yeah.
Shit, man. I'm out.
Fuck yeah, it. I'm out too. I can't think of shit.
Jason Statham. God damn it.
I already said his bangers. Crank and Beekeeper.
That's true. I never saw Beekeeper, to be fair, but I heard it's fucking good.
Oh, fuck. Damn it.
You remembered one?
Fucking that always happens.
Shit.
Except to me right now.
Is he in Layer Cake?
I think he is.
That's Daniel Craig,
Swordfish.
I'm pretty sure.
I know Daniel Craig's in it, but...
I don't know. Alexa, is Jason Statham in Layer Cake?
I'll just Google it.
Shut up.
No.
All right. We're all out. We all lose. Alexa, stop.
Yeah, it's Daniel
Craig. I thought
Craig.
Of Wrath of Man.
Oh, nice. Yeah. What Operation Fortune Rue de Guerre.
Did you just make that up?
No.
Operation Fortune.
Operation.
Did he say Jamming?
Jamming.
Thanks for listening to There Are Too Many Movies. Like and subscribe. I don't know. Go join in on our Patreon. $5 a month.
The Expendables.
Later, dudes.